Blog Talk Radio.
Of the Western Conference Finals in the books. One for the old guys. San Antonio Spurs taking out Oklahoma City 101-98 after a huge fourth quarter. And listen, if you're Oklahoma City, you can't be too upset. Game one on the road. This was all about San Antonio and its fourth quarter execution. San Antonio went through the first three quarters and really was out of sync as far as you know, the pace of the game. They really tried to run with Oklahoma City. They had a bunch of turnovers. When they slowed down and decided just to play, you know, play in the half court, Oklahoma City couldn't stop them. San Antonio had a 37-point fourth quarter following a 16-point third quarter, in where they shot 6 for 24, they erased a 9-point lead in the fourth to start the fourth quarter and went on to, again, went one going away, really, and the game wasn't as close as the score indicated, though, you know, Oklahoma City was still within a couple of possessions, but San Antonio's lead got up to as much as 10 late in the fourth quarter, and they really took control of the game in the last, you know, they really controlled the game the last 4 or 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. And again, coming into this series, one of the questions I had wondered about was how San Antonio was going to play, considering that they had reinvented themselves into being this, you know, borderline fast break team that liked to play with pace. And they tried that in the first three quarters, and it did not work. And it's evident to me, and I'm certainly sure it'll be evident to Greg Popovich once they watch the film, that they cannot run with Oklahoma City. Not for the reason that they will turn over the ball, but just for the reason that, you know, Oklahoma City has better athletes. And you want to make Oklahoma City execute in a half-court game. Oklahoma City did not, you know, Oklahoma City had periods over the course of this game where their half-court execution was very good, but for the most part, when Oklahoma City was at its best, was in transition. San Antonio did a good job on Oklahoma City's big three. Durant, Westbrook, and Harden as a whole did not play well. Durant had 27-10, but did not go crazy. Give Steven Jackson a lot of credit for his fourth quarter defense on Durant. Westbrook was just flat out awful. I mean, 7-21, just 5 assists, took a number of ill-advised shots, never got into any rhythm whatsoever. And Harden got simply dominated by Manu Ginobili. Harden was just, did score 19 points, but did not shoot well. And also, keep in mind, 6 of those 19, he came in the third quarter, 3 for 12. He had hit a couple of late threes that made his stats look better than what they really were. Harden really didn't have a very good game. So San Antonio contains Oklahoma City's big three. Now, Oklahoma City was able to get away with that for the majority of the game because Derek Fisher came off the bench, hit his first 6 shots, was like 6 of 9 from the field, had about 14, 15 points, had a very good game, made some big shots, some timely shots until he cooled off in the fourth quarter. So that was able to kind of soften the blow of the Oklahoma City's big three not performing over the course of this game. Very interesting conversation with Greg Popovich. This is why you love Popovich. At the end of the third quarter, and this is going to be talked about over the next couple of days up until game two, you know, Popovich basically laid into his team, you know, questioned whether or not they were having fun, wanted to see a little, as he said, nastiness, and said, hey, basically, you know, this is the Western Conference Final. You know, you thought, you know, we think we're going to blow everybody out. So that really seemed to be one of the turning points of the game. Popovich just, you know, laying into his team. After that, they have had a big fourth quarter run. And it's funny that he said that, because I thought to myself, I thought Oklahoma City was in control of the game at that point, how easy it had been for San Antonio through the first eight games of this postseason, while Oklahoma City had been in a bunch of close games and at least four or five tough games with the Lakers and with Dallas, and how they were primed for a close game, how they were more prepared for a close game than San Antonio was. But San Antonio, and how, you know, San Antonio would have been cruising, but San Antonio again in that fourth quarter showed you why people you would pick San Antonio to win this series. If you were going to pick them to win this series, is because in the fourth quarter, in a half court game, if it comes down to a game of execution, not to say Oklahoma City can't play half court, but if it comes down to a game of execution, San Antonio certainly has a decided edge from that standpoint over OKC. There are a few things OKC can do, I feel like, to kind of turn this thing around. But again, game one at home, San Antonio does what it's supposed to do, win game one. Oklahoma City can't be all disappointed. They had opportunities. They were in that game, despite the fact that, again, their big three as a whole did not play well. And they, you know, did not play well. Manu Ginobili had a huge game, 26 points, 9 of 14. Again, outplayed James Harden. I thought Oklahoma City did a great job for the most part. I thought Oklahoma City was playing great defense up into the fourth quarter. I mean, through the first three quarters, they held San Antonio to they held San Antonio to 62 points, and really did a great job at contesting San Antonio at San Antonio's 3-point shooters. San Antonio shot 8 for 24 from 3-point range. Now they hit some timely ones in the third quarter. They hit some timely ones in the fourth quarter. Gary Neal hit a big one. Steven Jackson, I thought, hit the biggest shot of the game at 84-88, the 3-pointer that really put the Thunder away. It was 88-84. He makes a three. It was 90 to make it 91-84, and Oklahoma City was really never heard from after that shot. Steven Jackson played great. Played great defense on Kevin Durant in the fourth quarter. Forced Durant to some tough shots. Durant had a couple of turnovers. Drew was able to draw a charge with an elbow that Durant caught him with. So give him certainly a lot of credit. Thiago Splitter had a good game. 9 points. Had some key inside buckets. This is the scary thing about San Antonio. Tim Duncan, Tony Parker were average. They were average. Parker was bad in this game, to be honest with you. He really was a non-factor. Duncan had a decent game, about 16 points, 11, had a double-double. Had a couple of nice finishes in the fourth quarter, but for the most part, they kept Duncan and Parker under control. It was, you know, San Antonio again from 1 to 10 is the most complete team in the NBA because they have so many ways, so many weapons that they can beat you with. Now they don't have to have one player to play great in order for them to win. It's just that, you know, that's how good they are from 1 to 10. So San Antonio takes game one, 101-98. Game two on Tuesday evening at 9 p.m. in San Antonio. We'll see if Oklahoma City can even up the series before heading back home to OKC come Thursday. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this special edition of this special post-game edition of game one of the NBA of the Western Conference Finals. San Antonio leads the series 1-0 in the best of 7. When we return, we will talk about the turning point of the game. We'll also get into Miami Boston as they get ready for their Eastern Conference Final showdown come tomorrow night. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this special edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. 41 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour on this special edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call post-game edition of San Antonio, Oklahoma City. San Antonio gets the win 101-98, take game one of the best of seven series in the Western Conference Finals. It was funny, I was burying Tony Parker saying he was awful. He wasn't awful. He did have 18-8-6, but just was 6-15 from the field and really did not impact the game the way he had been in the previous two rounds. I thought they did a pretty good job on him. I thought Russell Westbrook, as bad as he was offensively, did an excellent job defensively in keeping Parker out of the lane and keeping Parker in front of him. But, again, San Antonio has so many other weapons. They are not dependent on solely one or two players to carry the fort, especially from an offensive standpoint. Turning point of this game, I thought, was Manu Ginobili checked in. When he checked in, he went to work right away with a great first quarter. He had a big first half and had a great fourth quarter, had scored 11 points in the fourth quarter, a three-point play, hit some big shots, ended up, again, 26 points, 9 of 14. There are three things I wrote down before this game started that I thought were going to be keys. One, San Antonio three-point shooting, Manu Ginobili versus James Harden, and Oklahoma City fast break points. And San Antonio won two of those three, with Ginobili outplaying Harden and keeping and holding Oklahoma City's fast break points down. Oklahoma City had a couple of, so Oklahoma City did not go crazy on the fast break for the most part, despite the fact that the Thunder had a bunch of turnovers. San Antonio had a bunch of turnovers in the first half. And again, San Antonio ended up with 16 turnovers. They had 13 of those turnovers in the first half, so they really settled down in the second half, in particular the fourth quarter. I don't think they had any turnovers in the fourth quarter. If they did, they might only have one. But once they settled in and made it a half court game, they really were able to take control of the game. And again, Manu Ginobili was the best player on the court over the course of this game, from start to finish. 26 points, 5 rebounds. He's a guy, again, this is a guy who one day is going to end up in the Hall of Fame. I mean, between what he's done in the NBA and what he's done in terms of international basketball, this is a guy who's going to be someday end up in the Hall of Fame, a guy who will take big shots, is not afraid of the moment, and you don't need him to do it for 7 games, and you don't need him to do it for 48 minutes. And that's what makes San Antonio so dangerous. He, to me, you also could have looked at a turning point as well, was when, the Greg Popovich speech at the beginning of the fourth quarter, that certainly was one of the, that certainly propelled San Antonio from an emotional standpoint, because Popovich is a guy who doesn't get emotional. He keeps it simple. He's not a rah-rah guy, but that was one of the rare times you see Popovich get excited. He was animated. There was no question during that timeout that he's like, hey, this is game one of the Western Conference Finals. We're not playing the Clippers here. Let's get it going. So if I had to choose a second turning point, that certainly would have been one in San Antonio's favor. But number one was certainly Manu Ginobili and his play coming off the bench right away. He didn't waste any time, knocking down a three at the end of the first quarter, had 7 points in the first quarter. Again, ended up with 26 points and 5 rebounds, and again, certainly was the best player on the floor. When we return, we will go east and preview Miami-Boston as they tangle for the third straight postseason. Can Boston put 5 healthy bodies on the floor? That'll be one of the questions that we discuss. That's coming up and much, much more in this latest edition of the post-game edition of Oklahoma City, San Antonio. We'll be right back. back to this special edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call as we look back at Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. But right now we're going to go east as the Eastern Conference Final is set. The Miami Heat will host the Boston Celtics tomorrow night on ESPN. Miami taking care of business a couple of days ago against on Thursday night against the Indiana Pacers, and Boston having to basically sweat out a seven-game series against the Philadelphia 76ers last night. Rondo with a triple-double. Rondo with a triple-double played great. Ray Allen had a couple big threes in the fourth quarter, and Philly just couldn't score down the stretch. Again, that game went exactly the way I thought it would go. Boston would not be able to run away, but Philly could not get over the hump because they just didn't have enough scoring. And now Boston, now you wonder, game one could be rough on Boston with that quick turnaround, none of the guys who are banged up. I wouldn't be surprised if Boston lost by 25 points tomorrow night, to be honest with you. I mean, that game could be ugly. If I'm Doc Rivers, I would have an awfully quick trigger. If that game gets out of hand, mid to late third quarter, and you're down about 20 points going to fourth quarter, you don't play. I would not play my main guys. I mean, Garnett, Pierce, in particular, Garnett and Pierce and Allen. I just wouldn't. I do give Boston a puncher's chance in this series because, number one, I don't completely trust Miami. And number two, the matchup. Bosch, who knows when Bosch is going to come back. Garnett has been playing well. He certainly can exploit that. Rondo, they have no matchup for Rondo. Rondo can absolutely dominate that series. He killed Miami over the course of the regular season as they won the season series 3-1. I don't want to put too much into that. But Rondo, Boston, Miami really hasn't had an answer for Rondo, forever, for the last 2 years, even in games that they won. So that could be one of the key matchups. It's an absolute series that Miami should win, and I think that they will win probably in six games, maybe seven, but I would lean towards six games. But I would not be shocked if the Boston Celtics defeat took out the Miami Heat. Again, this is a Miami team that I just don't completely trust. Can Wade and LeBron play on this incredible, ridiculous level where they're putting in, 60 to 70 points a night? I'm not sure about that. Boston still is a great defensive team. I know they don't have no Avery Bradley, but as a team, they're still great defensively. I would pick Boston to win this series if they were healthy. Even if Bosch was healthy, I think I would pick Boston to win this series. If you gave me a healthy Ray Allen, a healthy Paul Pierce, and a healthy Avery Bradley. But again, that's a part of Boston being old. There was a good chance that those guys were not going to be healthy in terms of the big four or the big three with Allen, Pierce, and Garnett. Right now they're playing basically with a big two because Pierce is playing on one leg, and you have Ray Allen, who again had a couple of shots. Maybe those couple 3 points get him going, but did not. Certainly does not look like the vintage Ray Allen that we've been accustomed to seeing over the course of his career. But still should be a very good series. Boston certainly has no fear of Miami whatsoever. Two teams that don't like each other. Again, no answer. Miami has no answer for Rajon Rondo. He can absolutely has a chance to dominate this series if he plays well. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we'll look ahead to game two of this Oklahoma City San Antonio series. What has to happen in order for Oklahoma City to tie it up, and in order for San Antonio to take a commanding 2-0 lead in the best of seven series. We'll be right back.
Don't believe in anything.
You can't. They cannot run with Oklahoma City. So, if I'm San Antonio, then if I had to sacrifice some offense based on pulling back on some fast breaks that we might have ran against another team, then so be it. Because you're not going to beat Oklahoma City in a track meet. It's just not going to happen. You know, you saw San Antonio in the first three quarters. They were, you know, trying to run with Oklahoma City. They had a bunch of turnovers, and they really never got into their half court offense as much as they should have. Fourth quarter, they didn't run at all. They didn't have too many. I don't know if they had a fast break point in the fourth quarter, but it didn't matter because in the half court they were carving Oklahoma City up and had 37 fourth quarter points. So you're saying, Tony, I'm saying, listen, the formula is out there. We can run against the Clippers, we can run against Utah, but we cannot run against this team. Let's play half court. Let's play half court defense. Play half court offense. Force this team to get impatient and go from there. Because Oklahoma City does not want to play. They do not want to play in the half court. Not that they can't play in the half court, but they don't want to play in the half court for 48 minutes. For 48 minutes. There's no two ways about it. They want to get up and down. They want to get, you know, they want the game to be herky jerky, and go from there. So we'll see what happens in game two. Looking forward to it. Of course, game one tomorrow, the Eastern Conference Finals between Miami and Boston. Again, I'll be shocked if that game is competitive, considering the quick turnaround for Boston coming off that brutal physical series against the Philadelphia 76ers, and of course with the number of injuries and guys who are banged up on that Boston team. But who knows? You know, Miami can be tricky in terms of how they come out. So maybe Boston goes out there in game one and shocks the world. We'll see what happens. I will see you next time on the latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. Have a great evening. So long.